Thank you, Brother Jeremy, for ringing our bell. Welcome. Welcome. Good morning to you all. Thank you for joining us this morning. We want to just share a few announcements before we begin, and then we will sing praises to the Lord. On Wednesdays, we really want to invite you to come and join us in prayer. It is crucial, it is vital that the people of God come together and pray. So join us. It's virtual. You don't have to come to the building in order to pray with us. If you go to the website, click on the prayer meeting link. You can join us through Zoom. And if you don't want to be on camera, you can also join by your phone. So please come out Wednesday nights at 7. That's true. Even if you are on your computer, you can still turn off your camera. That is very true. We also have Gleaners and the Food Pantry on Wednesdays. You can actually access our food pantry outside of Wednesday. Well, we ask that you call and make an appointment with Sister Sherry to do that. There's information in our bulletin, but there's also information on our church website. So thank you. Be a blessing to the people around you. Let them know about our food pantry. All right, that is our announcements for the week. Let us open with a word of prayer. Holy God, thank you for this day. Thank you for life. We thank you for the sun that is shining today, that's out nice and bright for us here in the Northwest. Thank you, God, for it. We lift up those who need to know the real sun. Help us, God, to shine our lights. Be with us now as we enter into this space, to enter into your presence, to give you praise, to give you glory that is due your name, and also to hear the word of God, and to fellowship with our siblings. Thank you, God, for the opportunity. In your holy name we pray. Amen. All right. Our song team is going to come and bless us. Please join in and sing with us. And while they're coming, let's do the, right, yep. While they're coming, we're going to do our call to worship. It's found in Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Brothers and sisters,
I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Good morning. Our first song is His Name is Wonderful.
Is this on?
His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He's the great Shepherd, the Rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. His name is wonderful, His name is wonderful, His name is wonderful. wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is he. Bow down before him, love and adore him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed
is the greatest thing. I don't know if you know it or not. Pretty easy.
The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. The greatest thing in all my life is loving you. The greatest thing in all my life is loving you. I want to
Jesus.
Jesus, Lord, to me. Jesus, Jesus, Lord, to me. Master, Savior, Prince of Peace, Ruler of my heart today, Jesus, Lord, to me.
We have come now to the place of worship, where we worship by giving God just a portion of our abundance that he has given to us. So we take this time to thank God for all of his provisions, and we plant the seeds back into growing his kingdom. Pray with me. Holy God, thank you again for this day. Thank you for always being our provider. So many times we get discouraged and we look at what we lack. But thank you, God, for your provision. Thank you for all of the things that we have. Help us to use it for your glory. We give now a portion of our income back to you so that it can be used to grow your kingdom here on earth, that people will know who you are. People will know the word of God. People will experience your love and your grace. Bless it now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Right, it's now time for us to pray as a body. And so I want to invite you to share a praise. You can even do that on social media. You can pop into the chat there. What's happening in your life? What would you like to give God glory for? And if you have a prayer request, we can also take that as well. So let us know how we can pray with you and for you. And you who are here, anything that God is doing in your life, do you want to give a praise for? I see Brother Bill standing in our balcony. You have a praise, Brother Bill?
I do. I was very blessed to survive it. I was
Amen. Brother Bill is saying he is giving thanks to God. He survived a very hectic week at work. And to top things off, to put a cherry on top, the Lord granted him with a raise at work. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Again, God is so good. He takes care of us time and time again. We have Brother Josh and then Sister Debbie. Brother Josh. All right, so Brother Josh has a praise and a prayer request. He is grateful for the ongoing ministry of Gleaners, how they are reaching out into the community and sharing God's love that way. But he also has a prayer request for his mother, Sister Betty Culver. We're going to be praying for her. She is now in the hospital today. She actually went in yesterday. They did find an infection. They just got to narrow it down and figure out what's the source, and then they can be able to treat it. So Brother Josh said he got to speak to her on the phone today, this morning, and she sounded good. So praise God for that. Praise God for medical attention and that they're going to be working with Sister Betty. So let's lift her up in prayer. Sister Debbie. You know what, Sister Debbie, you're going to make me dance, and I got a bad knee, but you're going to make me dance. Oh, now see, okay, I know some of people, if you're on social media, you may not have caught everything that Sister Debbie said. So Brother Bill, thank you. Brother Bill's dancing on my behalf. We should praise God and shout with Sister Debbie. She's been working really hard since the passing of her husband to get the property together so she can sell it and then move and find something smaller and more suitable. And God has answered prayers. She's found a new home that she's purchased, and she was bragging because now she owns two houses. But she's trying to sell that second house. And the miracle is the gentleman who is interested in her current home that she's residing in, he might just be the buyer, and he might just take over doing all the work that needs to be done. So praise the Lord all the way around. God is so good. God is so good. Okay. Okay. Get moved. Okay, so the prayer request is she has a pod that's packed full of her belongings that needs to actually be moved to the new house, but the mover's schedule is already full for this incoming week. So she has the manager's number. She's called the manager. She was advised to text tomorrow. so that she can try to get fit in that day. So maybe something can happen this week after all. So that's our prayer. Let's continue to rejoice with Sister Debbie and also lift her up that God can make this move happen. God is so good. Sister Debbie, he's taking care of everything else. So we're going to expect him to continue to take care of this as well. Amen? That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God we serve. He's a mighty God. Amen. Brother Fred.
My wife is still backed up to the
Yes, so two prayer requests for Brother Fred, one for his wife, Sister Carolyn. Let's lift her up. She decided to stay home. She's feeling lethargic, you know, not a lot of energy. So let's pray that the doctors can figure it out and help her to get her re-energized. And, you know, the heat, you know, we love the sun, right? But can also drain us of our energy. So that's why she elected to stay home, because it's going to be, a nice hot day today. So let's lift up Sister Carolyn, and let's lift up Ivan, and Sarah. Sarah's dad has COVID. He also already has a compromised immune system and other health issues. So the struggle is real for him. He is improving, but he's still in a precarious place. So let's pray for them. And Brother Ivan, I know Ivan. Yeah, Ivan has been the caretaker because Sister Sarah went and visited family, so she's been gone. And Ivan's been taking care of her dad while he has COVID. And therefore, he and the boys have to quarantine because they're caring for a COVID patient. So there's a lot. There's a lot. And there's, you know, when you're caring for others, there's also fatigue, right, for caring for others. So let's just lift them all up. His wife, his daughter, everybody. Yes. Any other praises or prayer requests?
Chris's lungs getting better.
Right. Sister Linda is praising God. Her mother is recovering little by little. She's making small steps, but praise God for those small steps. All right.
And you don't know what's wrong with her?
Yeah. Okay. But and Sister Lori has tested and retested and retested, does not have COVID. She does have an ailment, can't figure it out, but it's not COVID. So she's got that lingering cough that's going on. So praise God for that, and let's lift her up as well so that that cough can get managed. Amen. Any other praises or requests? You know, I do have a praise. My son living in L.A., very expensive place, did find affordable housing. Praise God for that. And now, Sister Susie, his car is acting up. You know, it's always got to be something. Always got to be something. So, you know, it happened while he was moving. Because he was moving this week, and the car went kapunk. He did get moved. His friends came in, helped them get everything to the new place. But now he's got to figure out how to fix the old car. So I'm going to pray that God will yet again provide. Get him a car that will run, that he won't have to constantly put money into to get it to work. So thank God for his provision. Thank God for his love for us. Amen? All right. Are there any others? Sister Debbie, can you see anyone in the chat that has a praise or prayer request? All right, let's pray. Holy God, thank you. Thank you for hearing us. thank you for your son, Jesus, who has brought us into your family. This is why we get to call you Abba, Father. We look to you now, God. We give you glory. We give you praise. You heard all of the praise reports, and some of us haven't even shared everything. It would take literally all day and all year and months and months and months to give you thanks for all of the things that you do in our lives. But for this moment in time, we stop and we say thank you. Thank you for our ministry of the cleaners. Thank you for our food pantry. Thank you, God, that we have access to medical providers. Thank you that Sister Betty, even though she's in the hospital, she's there. She's being cared for. They're trying to figure it out. Thank you for that. We lift up the medical team right now. Give them wisdom. Show them what to do. Help them figure out the cause of the infection so that they can treat it properly. Thank you, God. We've had some others with ailments in the body. We have COVID in the family. We have people who are being the caretakers of those with COVID. Bless, Lord God. Step into those situations. We think of Sister Linda and her mother. Thank you for bringing her slowly but surely back to health. We ask, dear God, that you would step into that situation. We praise you that Sister Lori has consistently tested for COVID and has come out negative. But Lord God, there's still that cough. Fix it. And we thank you for doing it. We thank you, God, and we lift up Sister Debbie. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for your provision. Thank you for that potential buyer. We ask, Lord God, again, step into his heart, help him to seal the deal so that everything can go smoothly, that Sister Debbie can move into the new house and that her old house will be sold. We pray also that you would just get into the situation with the movers. Help them to be able to move that pod, Lord. We need everything to go smoothly. All for your glory. We thank you for it. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. I thank you for blessing my son with a new apartment he's excited about. It's more affordable. Bless your holy name. I pray, Lord God, that you would continue to provide. He needs a new car. He needs transportation because he's got to get to work. So, Lord, I pray, thank you that when you open one door and close another, that means you have opportunity to do something new, to move in a different way. And so we look to you to do just that. Help us to have faith, to follow where you are leading us. We thank you, God. We thank you. We thank you. Bless now the people who are joining us through social media. You know their praises. We rejoice with them. You know their burdens. We ask, Lord God, that you would take them and exchange them for your light burden. In your holy name we pray. Amen. All right, it appears we have no children for our children's church. So yes, thank you, Brother Josh. So we can still pray for them and the workers. And then we will go to our Word of God. So pray with me for our children and the workers that serve them. Lord God, we pause now to think about the children. Even though they're absent, we lift them up to you. We know that you have a place for them in the body of Christ. You have a place for them to minister. And so we lift them up to you. Keep them safe over the summer. Let them have lots of fun, but also still learn, ever learning, ever being curious, ever asking questions, and seeking to know who you are. We ask a special blessing upon those who plan and provide all of the learning engagements for our children, through our children's ministry. Bless them, Lord God. Sister Carolyn has asked for special prayer that you would help her come up with new curriculum, figure out new things and new ways, activities to keep them engaged with God and to really foster having a true, rich relationship with you, even at their young age, so that they will grow up and walk with you all of their lives. We ask your blessing, Lord God. Amen. All right, let me grab my notes, and then we will take time to study the Word of God. We are still in our Jesus Prepares His Disciples series, and today's focus is going to be on how Jesus prepares the 70. There's 70-some disciples that he sends out, but before he does it, he tells them what to expect. He tells them these are the things that you need to go out and to be effective. So let's focus on that story. It is actually found in the book of Luke, chapter 10. So if you can, turn in your paper Bibles, or if you have electronic Bibles, look with me into the Word of God. As I always invite you to do, choose your favorite translation and use it. I will be using today the New Living Translation. Luke chapter 10, the beginning of the chapter. The Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. Listen to what he says. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Now go, he says, and remember that I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take any money with you, nor a traveler's bag, nor extra pair of sandals, and don't stop to greet anyone on the road. Whenever you enter someone's home, first say, may God's peace be on this house. If those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they are not, the blessing will return to you. Don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve their pay. Verse 8. If you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you. Heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near you now. But if a town refuses to welcome you, go into its streets and say, we wipe even the dust of your town from our feet to show that we have abandoned you to your fate. And know this, the kingdom of God is near. And then he says, I assure you, even wicked Sodom will be better off than such a town on Judgment Day. That's the reading of the Word of God. Now, after reading that passage, you might be thinking to yourself, I think I've heard this before, but it wasn't 70-some people Jesus was talking to. I thought he was just talking to the 12, Sister Linda. What's happening in this passage? Well, you're correct, if that's what's happening in your mind. There is another passage of Scripture that uses almost exactly the same wording. It's a very similar scenario. So if you flip back in your book, in your Bible, go back to chapter 9. Just one chapter ahead, behind, you'll see that Jesus is having the same conversation. It's just that it's not the 70-some that he's sending out, it's actually the 12. So I'll read a little bit of chapter 9 for us. One day, Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and to heal all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick, So listen to what he says. Same thing. Take nothing for your journey, he instructed them. Don't take a walking stick, a traveler's bag, food, money, or even a change of clothes. Wherever you go, stay in the same house until you leave town. And if a town refuses to welcome you, listen to what he says, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you have abandoned those people to their fate. Verse 6 says, so they began their circuit of the villages, preaching the good news and healing the sick. So it looks like Jesus experimented with the smaller group of disciples. Okay, let's see if they'll do what I'm asking and advising them to do, right? So they go out, they come back, and when they share what happened, and then Jesus later on replicates the same instructions to a larger group of disciples. So, and there are a handful of things that are repeated when you read those two scenarios. And trust me, when God repeats himself, it's just like your parents. Go back to your childhood days. When your parents repeated themselves or when you were in school, how do we learn? Repetition, right? You can't just hear it once and go, oh, okay, now I understand. It's all good. Yeah, that's not the way the human brain works. Usually takes a couple of times and usually more than just a couple. So God knows that. So he repeats himself throughout scripture time and again. And so Jesus also teaching his disciples repeats himself. And so because scripture shows that repetition, that means that we, the current disciples, should pay attention. Because it didn't happen just once. It happened twice. What is Jesus telling us? What should we understand? We cannot simply gloss over the scripture. What is he saying? So let's look at how Jesus is preparing his disciples. Let's look at what he's teaching his followers. And I've come up with a few P's to summarize what Jesus taught them. He taught them to partner. He taught them to pray. Place their trust in God's provision. Pronounce peace. And then the final P, presume persecution. So I'll be going back over that list. So the first one is the partner. Jesus sent the group of disciples out in pairs. They had another person to walk with them, to share the story of Jesus, and to perform miracles. So I think it's fascinating that Jesus doesn't just say, okay, go tell these people about God and who I am. He actually empowers them to show people, I'm going to heal you in the name of Jesus. Not in my name, because I'm not God. I'm going to heal you in Jesus' name so that you can go and tell others that you have encountered the Almighty. And this is another sermon for another day, but what does that mean for us? I believe that God wants us to be doing the same thing, not just teaching and telling people with our words who God is, but actually being able to show them by performing miracles. So think about that. Keep that in the back of your mind, because that's also what's here in the scripture. Jesus instructed them to do so, to go out in partners, to be a part of a partnership, because he wanted them to recognize they're not alone in shining their light. So many times in this world, we feel that we're the only one. We're the only one suffering. We're the only one with this XYZ experience. We're the only one that can do this or that. And sometimes when you're surrounded by non-believers, or it's just complete chaos, as Brother Bill shared earlier, sometimes your work week is just chaotic. And so you feel alone. And that's what the enemy wants you to feel, that you're all by yourself. But Jesus says, no, you're not alone. First of all, my spirit is with you. But secondly, you have your brothers and sisters in Christ. You are not alone. So don't go out trying to do everything by yourself. You have someone to go with you. Jesus wanted his disciples to feel safe. He wanted them to feel encouraged. He wanted them to feel empowered. We practice in schools, even today, and in workplaces as well, the buddy system. When kids go on field trips, I remember doing this even as a kid, and they still do it now. When you go on field trips, if you're off campus, most teachers are going to advise their students to stick together to make sure they are with their buddy, right? And in the military, you may hear the term battle buddy. I was in the Air Force, and we did not do things by ourselves. You're not supposed to go out and fight the enemy alone. You're to take someone with you. Why? So they watch out for you and you watch out for them. And even step beyond the military. Just in having fun, especially now that it's summertime, and we all love to be by the water and do all types of different activities. We're advised to not go swimming, not go hiking, not go camping by yourself. Why, Sister Susie? Why don't they want you going out there by yourself? Yeah, you could get lost, and guess what? You could get hurt. You fall down a ravine. Who's going to know where you are? Who's going to be able to help you? It could take hours. It could take days. It might even take a couple weeks to find you and to be able to try to rescue you. So this is why you don't go alone. So it's not just a kid thing. Adults need to have a battle buddy too. Jesus says to his disciples, go together, work with a partner. You shouldn't think about carrying on Jesus' ministry alone. You are part of the body of Christ. Your brothers and your sisters, your siblings in Christ, are here to go with you on that journey, to partner with you in ministry. For those of you who are leading ministries, you've led ministries in the past, you are not alone. Just like Sister Carolyn had that prayer request. Hey, we need to pray for our children's ministry team. We need God's vision. How are we going to proceed? What are the things that we need to do to help our children grow up in Christ? Now, she could just sit home and be by herself and be like, okay, Lord, I don't know what you want me to do. And anguish over that week after week. Or she could express her need. Ask for other volunteers, ask for people to join her in that ministry, which is what she's done. Great example. We are not alone. So Jesus says, partner, go out in pairs. Don't do this by yourself. The second P is pray. You are a child of God. You know prayer is paramount to our life. Jesus commanded his disciples that day to pray to God, who is in charge of the harvest. Not because he's in charge of the harvest, but because we want him to send more laborers. We need more workers. And I really love that phrase, and you'll hear me pray it a lot. I pray that prayer. Jesus is giving us a glimpse of the bigger picture of ministry. He's saying, don't just focus on all the smaller details, but look, because, you know, again, it's so easy, because it's our church tradition, Christian tradition, to worry about programming, doing this, and we got to set up Vacation Bible School, and then we need to do this for the women's ministry, and we need to do that. God is saying, look, don't worry about that stuff. I need you to be praying about the people who will minister, the people who are going to go out and win souls, those who are going to be in charge of said ministries. Pray to God for that. There's tons of lost people. There's tons of people who need God, who need to know Jesus. But we can't do that without the laborers. So that's the big picture. We need laborers, God. We've been taught to pray for the lost, and Jesus is saying here, don't forget about the laborers, those who will go out to shine their light and be salt in a dying, sinful, and godless world. There's plenty of lost souls, Jesus says, but not enough witnesses. Not enough worker bees. And we can see that here at Gales Creek. There's a small number now. We're trying to do everything. So this word is specifically for us. Lord God of the harvest, we need you to send laborers. We need you to send workers. We need the worker bees. Now, there's a lot of spectator Christians around the globe, particularly here in the United States. You know, those people who just come to church and they sit, they visit with people. They come and they want to hear the music. It's like, oh, this is such great music. Yay. Oh, and I got to see Sister Susie today. Oh, and there's Sister Donna. Hey, Sister Donna. Oh, hey, Brother Fred. You know, we're happy, and then they leave. They don't hang around to participate in the worker, in the working that we need to do. They just want to come and sit on the pew. God is saying, hey, it's not a spectator sport. We actually need people to make disciples, to build up the kingdom. We need active believers, not just people who will attend a church service or watch online only. The body needs musicians, singers, Bible teachers, mentors, hospitality workers, building maintenance, sound technicians, in addition to all the things that you're doing outside of the church. The bankers and the financial planners, the realtors, the dancers, the medical and behavioral health professionals, all those things. God needs us in his kingdom to reach out to those who are lost. So pray. Pray to the God of the harvest that he will send us those worker bees. The next P, place trust in God's provision. Now, don't you find Jesus' instruction curious? When I read this, and even when you read it in chapter 9, it's like, now why would he tell these poor boys to go out here and not worry about the essentials? Now, I mean, yeah, they're not going to worry about trying to get a mansion or anything, but they got to take care of the essentials. They need food. They need clothing. They need housing. But this is what Jesus says to them. Don't even worry about memorizing your sermon. Now, what kind of advice is that? What kind of advice is that? If you're a responsible adult, which is what they were, you're going to plan ahead. That's what we do. We plan ahead. We're trying to be good stewards of what we have. And that's even time management. What's going to happen tomorrow? What do I need to do in order to prepare for those things? You can't just go gallivanting around the world without planning how you're going to pay for your keep. If we go to this next city, we don't even know the people there. Where are we going to stay? What are we going to eat? What exactly is Jesus saying to them? I submit he's reminding his disciples to place their trust in God the Father's provision. You know, we gave praise earlier about what God has provided for us. So many times he's come through. You can't even add it up on all your 10 fingers. You gotta make a longer list than that. Right? So Jesus is saying, oh, I know. I know you're worried about your clothes and where you're going to eat and sleep. I know. But don't focus on those things. If you step out in faith, doing what God has called you to do, guess what? He's going to provide all of those things for you. He called them to be witnesses. And so because he called them to be witnesses, he's going to take care of them. One of my favorite songs by a singer, her name is Erykah Badu. She has a song that's called Bag Lady. And one of the lyrics advises the bag lady to pack light. And I love the way Erykah sings it. She says, pack light. You're going to miss your bus because you've got too much stuff. And I can literally see the bus driving up, because I used to ride TriMet a lot. The bus comes up, and like she's across the street, and it's like, oh, wait, the light's not in her favor. She's got to run across this traffic, but she's got all these bags. How is she going to catch that bus in time? How is she going to do it? So Erykah says, pack light. If you just have a backpack, guess what? You can move quickly across this traffic and catch that bus. And Jesus is saying the same things to his disciples. He's saying, I need you to pack light. This world is not our home, and we don't need to be attached. Instead, give our burdens to God, and he'll exchange them for a lighter load so we can last this journey that we're on. Pack light. Let go of all those things so that you can focus on what God has called you to do and to be. I believe Jesus is calling us to a life of simplicity so that we will focus on building his kingdom versus maintaining our own kingdom. And I don't really have a kingdom, but it's a nice kingdom that I have. It's a small one. It's still mine. And Brother Josh, let me tell you, I'm always thinking about, okay, now I got to do the laundry. I got to get the dishes done. Oh, do we mow the lawn? Oh, got to do that. Got to do all these things that I have to worry about because I own a piece of property and a car and have kids. Ooh, Josh. It's a lot. So this is what I'm saying. You can burden yourself down with all these things so then you have less time to focus on what God has actually called you to be doing and who he's called you to be. Because all your excuses about, like the disciples, well, what are we going to eat? We don't know those people. How are we going to sleep in their house and we don't know them? Well, what about all the things? Jesus is saying, don't worry about all those things. I will take care of those things. The more stuff we accumulate, the more time and attention are required to manage those things. The more committees and boards and volunteer clubs we belong to, it can become a great temptation to dedicate less and less time and attention to actually being witnesses and being able to do God's business. Now hear me, what I'm saying. You can be a volunteer. You can be on a board. You can do those things. Don't make that your priority. Instead, what should be happening in our minds is, oh, God, you've placed me on this board. I've never served on a board before. Show me what to do. Help me to shine my light here. Help me to be salt, because I don't really know these people. I want to be used for your glory. Show me someone I can witness to, or maybe I can mentor somebody. That's what should be happening in our head rather than, oh, good gravy. Now I got to go to this meeting. I got to run over here and I got to do this and I got to do that. Focus, Jesus is saying. Focus. Trust. Really trust that God will provide. Place your trust in God's provision. He will carry you through this journey. Now let's talk about pronouncing peace. That's the other thing that you find in the scripture here. Verse 5 says this. Whenever you enter someone's home, first say, look at what it says, may God's peace be on this house. Jesus, being the Prince of Peace, wants us to speak peace over others, over ourselves and our situations. He reminds the disciples they are God's. They are God's ambassadors representing God himself to the world in which they live. And that's the same for us. We're ambassadors for God. So we have to remember to pronounce peace into our situations. God loves everyone and wants everyone to be in relationship with him. So one of the first things to do is to speak a blessing over others. And then we can continue that conversation about who God is in our lives. We are to be peacemakers, is what Jesus told his disciples. We are to seek the shalom of the world. That's our job, to bring peace as Jesus brought peace. Our last P, lastly, but definitely not least, Jesus prepared his disciples to presume persecution. Now let's go back to verse 8. You got to go to verse 8 and read a few of the following. He says, if you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you. Again, that's receiving God's provision. Whatever's been provided, thank you, Lord, for doing that. And he says, heal the sick, verse 9. Because remember, he's empowered them. Heal the sick. And then tell them, the kingdom of God is now near. So when the kingdom of God is there, you experience his peace. So listen closely, though, to verse 10. But if a town refuses to welcome you, go out into its streets and say, we wipe even the dust of your town from our feet to show that we have abandoned you to your fate. And then one last time, they're to say, they are to declare, the kingdom of God is near. Because you need to let people know, God is here. You can't see him, but just because you can't see him doesn't mean that he's not here. He is here. He cares about you. He loves you. He actually sacrificed his son for you. So I come, we come in peace. But know this, my dear brothers, my dear sisters. Everybody ain't into Jesus. Everybody ain't going to be into God. They're just not. They're just not. So what do you do then if they're not, Sister Linda? What do you do with a person who's like, nobody cares about that stuff? Jesus is explicit in the mission of his disciples. They're to go out, be witnesses, tell the people that God is near, that God sent Jesus. He also says to them, expect rejection and persecution. So we too, we got to expect for the people to go, I'm not into that. Not everyone will accept the words of peace. And sometimes they may actually run you away. You know, it's a very funny thing. I've had that happen to me several times. People don't like to see me coming sometimes, Sister Linda. I'm a very nice person. Very pleasant. But there's something about me that just rubs a few people the wrong way. And so I sit down sometimes and I wonder, what is that about? And Jesus was like, because they don't like me. Get it? Because they don't like you, baby girl. They don't like me. And I'm like, it's because of the Jesus in me that they don't like me. They need my ideas. They need to work with me. But can they spend just a little less time with me? And that's what happens sometimes when the disciples would go out. People are experiencing that conviction of God's word. So, they don't want to be bothered with you because you're bringing God's word. And God's word brings accountability. Yes, it tells us about how much God loves us, but it also tells us we've sinned and we've fallen short. And we need to get it right with God. And what does that mean? Accepting Jesus. Believing that Jesus is God's Messiah. And then not just believing in our heads, but turning our lives around. Asking God to really live in our hearts so that we can reflect who God is. So that's going to mean you got to give up some of your bad habits. But for all the bad habits we give up, we gain so much good. But you know what happens, though, Sister Rhonda? People focus on what they're giving up. They just think, I can't be me if I follow God, if I accept this Jesus that these people are talking about. It's not true. It's a lie of the enemy. You're still going to be you, and then some, because the love of God will reign and rule in your heart. So you'll be such a better person with God in your life. But not everybody's interested. So we need to expect that not everyone's going to want to see our happy, smiley faces and see us welcoming them and pronouncing peace over them because they're just not interested. So what does Jesus say when that happens? He says, when that happens, don't worry about it. Shake the dust off your shoes and keep it moving. Just keep it moving. say, hey, well, you know, I wanted to tell you about God. Jesus loves you. Deuces. Keep it moving. You know, and it's true, Sister Susie. So here's the deal. Here's the deal. Look at the scripture. You're not going to find in the scripture where he says, punch that person, kick him in the knee, trip them because they don't believe what you said about God. Doesn't say that there. You don't need to seek revenge. You don't need to try to force other people to believe in God. It's not your job. It's not your job. Our job is to simply let people know about God's love. To simply live our lives showing that Jesus is our King. He is the ruler in our life. And so we live for his glory. We don't have to fight with them. We don't have to get ugly with them. He says, instead, go preach the gospel. Tell them that God loves them. Tell them he sent me to save them and that I'm coming back for them. Heal the sick. Don't argue and pick fights. We must, however, anticipate that not all will receive and not all will believe, because not all of the people received and believed Jesus when he was on the planet, right? We know his story. We know what happened to him. So we definitely cannot expect that the world is going to accept us, because we're not even Jesus. We didn't even die for them. We're just telling them about the one who did die for them. So we can expect that they're not always going to receive it. They're not always going to believe it. But Jesus says, this is crucial to the scripture that we've just read, the passage there. He says, even when that happens, even when you face rejection, even if you face persecution, guess what? The peace that you offer is going to come back to you. So again, you're not alone. You're not a failure. Don't focus on those things that didn't work out right, because you still belong to God. You still have his peace. His peace is with us, regardless of the efforts that we've made and we're not received. God's peace is with us. What we can and what we should do, instead of counting the number of souls we win or that we didn't win, and measuring our success by how big our church is and how many people attend on Sunday morning, how many people are in our social media, how many people visit our Facebook page? Because, you know, you can do the metrics on that and go, oh, my goodness, there's 1,000 people who watch us every single week. There's another 100 who join us for prayer. Yeah, that's great. Those are just numbers. Don't focus on those numbers. Focus on being who God called us to be, doing what God called us to do, which is shine our light for his glory, to be like salt. That's what God wants us to do. Speak shalom. And if they receive it, awesome. If they don't, that's okay, because the shalom comes back to you. But Jesus said these things to those 70-some disciples that he sent out that day. He said it to the 12 before that. Same things. And that lesson is for us today, right now, the current day disciples of Christ. We have inherited the ministry of reconciliation from Jesus himself. He came to reconcile mankind back to God. And then he left and he said, hey, you who follow me, I want you to do the same thing. Go out and tell the world about who God is, so that they can be reconciled back to God. Jesus prepared those 70, and he prepares us. And he wants us to do these things. Partner with each other. Don't go it alone. Pray for laborers to build God's kingdom. Place trust in God's provision. Pronounce peace to others. And finally, to presume persecution. Everybody's not going to receive the good words that we have, but it's okay. It's not our fault. God's got it all covered, and he still loves us. Pray with me. God, thank you. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you for showing us and giving us so many examples of how you love us, how you've equipped us to go out into this world and be salt and light. Lord, I know there are some who are listening to my voice and they're afraid. They're like, I just can't do it. I just can't. I'm not brave like some of the other Christians are. I can't do it. Help your Holy Spirit to shine in their life, Lord God. Meet them in their unbelief. Show them that they don't need to memorize the Bible in order to be able to share what you've done in their life. Empower us, embolden us to let our light shine, to speak peace into the situations around us, no matter where we are, at church, when we're with our neighbors, if we're at work, if we're at school, whatever it is, Lord God, help us to greet people with peace. Help us to be peacemakers. Help us, dear God, to reflect who you are in our lives. It's so that others will see our good works and not only call us blessed, but know that you are truly God. We ask these things in your name. We bless you, Lord God. Bless your holy name. Amen and amen. All right, we have a closing song, and then I'll return with our benediction.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
In Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Your friends despise, forsake you. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield you. You will find a solace there.
We've come now to the end of our worship service. I pray God's peace upon you this week. Go, my dear brothers, my dear sisters, my siblings in Christ. Go and share God's love with the people around you. And until we meet again, may you know his peace and may you know his power. Amen. Have a great week.